Good morning. Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb and Asgrow, here with you on WGIL Radio, AM 1400, with our weekly episode of Ag Talk. Hopefully you've caught some rain in your area this week. I've been places this week that have had 4 inches of rain in the last week or so, and I've been to places that have had no rain in the last 5 or 6 weeks or so. And so there's definitely some pockets of dryness. I was with some customers looking at some fields in the Blandinsville, Macomb, Adair area this week, and that is that's probably the driest area in my geography that I cover. And things are looking pretty tough in that area, so hopefully they'll catch some moisture. I talked to a colleague of mine that farms and lives north of Galesburg, and they've had over 4 inches this week. So our rainfall totals for the week have ranged from about an inch and a half down to a couple tenths. I actually don't have any fields that have gotten nothing at all this week, but certainly a lot of acres that haven't gotten a lot, and there's chances for more next week, looks like. So hopefully we're in that time of year when it's possible, but it's difficult and rare that you get too much rain this time of year. In April and May, it's easy to have too much rain, and we did that. When you get into July and August, even if you're getting twice normal rainfall amounts, which is devastating in the spring, that's a wonderful thing in the summer if you're getting more rain than normal. So we are entering into the most critical time for the corn crop. We've got the early planted corn is tasseling and pollinating right now. So if you've caught rain, we've got some cooler weather in the forecast. So it looks like a really ideal scenario for getting corn pollinated and off to a good start. Crops really look pretty nice across the area right now, unless you happen to be in one of those dry pockets. Things have caught up a lot, made a lot of progress. Color is good. Crop is pretty healthy at this stage of the game. We are starting to find some tar spot here and there, which is a kind of a newer disease in corn that gets a lot of attention, and people are very concerned about how bad that might get in different years, depending on how early it gets started and what kind of weather we have. And when you're finding it this early, it certainly has the potential to be bad. No guarantee that it will be. But soybeans are flowering and setting pods and look great. Got most of our herbicide applications made with varying levels of success controlling weeds. So I do think a lot of farmers are going to be frustrated this summer when they find out that what they were hoping was 100% weed control is more like 80 or 85 in a lot of cases, and that's going to make some fields look pretty woolly. You can obviously see the weed escapes in soybeans worse than you can in corn, just because the corn is going to be taller than most of the weeds that are out there, so it hides those mistakes a little better than our soybeans do. So I ran into a this is a little bit of a humorous story. I ran into a friend of mine, fellow farmer, getting some parts the other day, which is something I seem to do more often than I would like. But he was giving me a hard time because, as it turns out, his mom, who has a little more free time on her hands as a retired person, apparently enjoys listening to this program, and she's always telling him what Lance said. And, you know, he knows me well enough. We're about the same age. We were in college together. You know, he knew me when I was a kid in 4-H. I mean, he knows me too well to be impressed by what Lance has to say, basically. So he gets a little frustrated with his mom, I think, always giving him reports of, well, Lance said this and Lance said that. And I told him, I said, my wife would sympathize with you because that's one of her least favorite things is hearing from anybody that they enjoy listening to me talk. She's never really understood why anybody would enjoy that. So I apologize to my friend for needing to get updates from his mom frequently about what Lance said about this or Lance said about that. So, but anyway, I appreciate the fact that she enjoys listening, and I feel bad for him that he has to get a recap of what I was saying, because he knows well enough to know that, you know, whatever I say doesn't mean that much. So, but anyway, hopefully you're all doing well this week, catching some rain, getting your weed control applications made. We're getting into headed into the peak of fungicide season, so going to be lots of planes, helicopters, drones in the air. So we are attacking diseases in our crops with four different modes of application these days. So you can spray with a high boy sprayer, which is a ground rig as we know it. Helicopters have become more popular. Historically, the only aerial applications we made were with airplanes, and that's still the primary source. But UAVs, or drones, as they're called, are becoming more popular as well. So I hired a local guy that has a business of making applications with drones to spray alfalfa weevils in my alfalfa, and work fabulously. It's hard to get, when you need to spray weevils and alfalfa, typically the applicators are trying to get herbicides put on corn and soybean fields. And, you know, it's a real hassle to have to clean out your sprayer to go do a little patch of alfalfa when you've got corn and soybeans that need to be sprayed. And the products you've been spraying on the corn and soybeans, you can't spray on the alfalfa. So you got to take, you know, some time to clean the sprayer out. You know, alfalfa fields are historically small. You know, we don't raise a lot of alfalfa. A lot of times it's small, patchy fields. It's not really great work for the applicators to have to spray those fields. In my case this year, it was actually too muddy to be in the field with a ground rig when mine needed to be sprayed. But that's not a problem if you're doing it from the air. So there's more and more fungicide applications getting made that way. And kind of an emerging thing that's giving us another option for how to apply products. So you'll be seeing lots of activity in the air above fields, applying fungicides to protect our corn crop from tar spot and southern rust and gray leaf spot and other diseases that can impact the crop. So. When I come back, we're going to, and some of you probably been wondering if I was going to say anything about the presidential debate, which was this week, and I am, actually. And so when we come back, we'll talk a little politics, just for heck. Hi, Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb and Asgrow, back with you here on WGL Radio with Ag Talk. And before the break, I mentioned I was going to wade into the murky swamp of presidential politics. So did you watch the debate Thursday night? I wasn't going to, honestly, because for several reasons. One, I don't have cable in our house, so I don't get CNN, and I knew CNN was hosting the debate, so I naively thought that it was only on CNN. Well, I found out before it started that was not the case, and all the networks were carrying it, so I didn't have that excuse. The other reason I wasn't going to watch it was because I knew there was not going to be anything that happened on that debate stage that was going to change the way I feel about these two grumpy old men. You know, I've got my favorite of the two. I was pretty confident that in my eyes he was going to win, and even if he didn't win the debate, he still got my vote. And I think that's the way 99% of the people in the country feel about these two gentlemen. They are extremely polarizing people, both of them, for different reasons. And if you support one, you tend to hate the other. And even if you're upset with your guy, there's no way you're ever going to be upset enough with your guy that you're going to vote for the other guy. You know, the most that might happen is maybe you don't vote at all because you're upset with your guy. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, that's kind of like a vote for the other guy. And I hate him a lot worse than I hate my guy. So I'm still going to vote for my guy that I don't like either because I like him a lot better than the other guy. And I don't think there's very many people in the country that are different than that. They just have different points of view as to who their favorite guy is. So, you know, to me, it's been kind of surprising to hear how disappointed a lot of Democrats were with Biden's performance in the debate. And I'm not sure what they were expecting. He exceeded my expectations. I thought it would be all like it was there at the beginning. But, you know, he kind of got his stride and got his feet under him. And, you know, he made it through. And for no teleprompter and no note cards and nobody whispering in his ear, I thought he hung in there pretty decent, which was, like I say, more than I expected. So there's been a lot of talk since the debate about, well, should Biden run? Should he stay in? Should he step aside? Should they find somebody else to run? You know, will it be Gavin Newsom? Will it be Kamala Harris? Will it be Gretchen Whitmer? Will it be, you know, who could it be? And you're going to hear a lot of talk about, you know, who all those people that they could put up there, and think they've got a better chance of beating Trump with somebody other than Biden. So I thought that was an interesting outcome, because typically after any debate, both sides can find a way to claim their guy won. And that's not really happening after this one. So that's interesting. And to me, it's pretty obvious that President Biden's not capable of being president. But in a lot of people's minds, you know, Donald Trump doesn't deserve to be president. So when you're trying to choose between a guy that's incapable and a guy that doesn't deserve it, you know, who are you going to pick? And, you know, I don't think you can really make the argument that Biden should be president. But in a lot of people's minds, it's pretty easy to make the argument that Trump should not be president. So, you know, like I mentioned before, I think a lot of people's, you know, vote for Biden is more of a vote against Trump than it is for Biden. And regardless of how incapacitated you think Biden is, you can still vote for him to vote against Trump. And my dad and I were talking, and he just thought, you know, Biden did horrible, and how's anybody going to vote for him? I'm like, Dad, it's not going to make that much difference, because, you know, they're not voting for him, they're voting against the other guy. And my dad asked me, he says, how'd you get so cynical? Which, you know, was a rhetorical question, because he knows damn good and well how I got so cynical. And he actually reminded me of something that he says. And I can't honestly say that I ever remember him saying this, and it's probably because when he was telling me it, I wasn't really paying attention, because I didn't think he knew what he was talking about, which is, you know, kind of the way fathers and sons go. And then as you get older, your dad keeps getting smarter for some reason. But anyway, he said, well, you know Murphy's Law, right? That, you know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. I said, oh, yeah, I talk about that all the time. And he said, well, you know, there's a Tarchione's law, right? And I said, well, what's that? And he says, well, Tarchione's law says Murphy was an optimist. So that's, for those of you that don't know what Tarchione's law is, it's that Murphy was too much of an optimist. But anyway, so we had a little fun with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, what makes me frustrated and sad and concerned for the future of the country is how many Americans have misplaced priorities. And we have so many people looking to government to solve their problems and make their life better and easier. That is not the purpose of government. And as long as anywhere near 50% of the country think that it is, We are going to be a nation going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt and sliding further and further and further into decline. So I hope that before I become compost, I can see that pendulum swinging the other direction. So if you sat through the whole debate, you know, I got to tell you, that's 90 minutes of your life you're never going to get back. I told my dad that. He said he probably would have just been napping anyway, so he was going to waste that 90 minutes, and so might as well waste it watching the presidential debate. But there's supposed to be another one. We'll see if that happens. If there is another one, we'll see if it's the same two guys, or if there's a new guy or a new lady that takes the place of the old guy, the older guy. They're both old guys, as you know. But anyway, it was more fun talking about it than it was watching it, and hopefully things will turn out okay. With that, we'll talk to you again soon. Everybody stay safe, take care, have a good week. Still in the greatest place on earth. Might be more messed up than normal, but we still got it pretty good.